Good morning. My name is David. I'm happy to be here speaking today as our teaching pastor, Dusty, is on sabbatical. And he should be back with us next Sunday. You may remember that the last Sunday in April, Dusty preached about unity in the body of Christ. And he talked about the fact that we live in a world where division is the norm. And where giving up on people is the norm, where opposing people is the norm. He talked about God's work being to heal the brokenness of the world, and that our role is to cooperate with God in that mission. And Dusty said he was going to be praying about that while he was on sabbatical. So I imagine we're going to be hearing more about that. And along those same lines, I'm going to speak today about forgiveness, which is, of course, a topic that can't be covered in one sermon. And so I'm going in telling you I'm going to fall woefully short in talking about forgiveness. Maybe you could say this will be a brief introduction to forgiveness, or you could say it's a beginning. But a beginning is really the point. On your, what I'll call a journey of forgiveness. The important thing is to begin and to trust God to bring you along on that. Well, let's start with a reading from Matthew chapter 18, 21 and 22. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." Or your translation may say 70 times seven. Before we jump into this topic, I want to begin with a story from a few years ago and see if you can relate to this. My finger was hovering over a contact on my phone. For like the third time in a week. And then I jerked it back like it burned me or something. And I was wondering, like, why am I even thinking about this guy? But I knew the answer to that question. The reason I was thinking about him is that Dusty had been teaching about forgiveness. And he had asked us to think of two people that we needed to talk to forgive, to clear the air, that kind of thing. And he said to think about it, but I didn't have to think about it. I mean, two men immediately came to mind. They were just right there, like it or not. And in regard to these people, I had become an expert at evasion. Scanning parking lots before entering buildings, muting social media notifications, rehearsing excuses for why I couldn't attend a wedding where they might show up. I was determined to protect myself and to protect my wounds, which had become almost comforting at this point. I mean, they were the proof that I had been wronged and that my pain mattered. But Dusty said to think about two people. And so even though I was feeling the weight of disconnection and the sting of the wounds, I somehow managed that same day to push through the awkwardness and set up breakfast with one of those two men. So we met, and the talk went better than I imagined. You know, apologies and forgiveness and reconciliation came easily. I was like, well, Dusty was right. Well, of course he was. This is what I should always do, right? And yet here I was, 4 months later, with my fingers still hovering over the contact on my phone, over the name of the other man. This one was different. Can you relate to that story? you have somebody in your life where forgiveness is different. Maybe you've forgiven before you've forgiven other people and other wrongs, and it went great, and then there's this other place where you're just kind of stuck. It's that gap. I know I should forgive, but I find myself unable to. That's the gap I want to address this morning. So we're stuck right there. Because sometimes we can find ourselves knowing that we should forgive, but feeling unable to. Feeling like a failure. Because you can't move on or let it go the way other people seem to be able to. If any of that sounds familiar, you're in good company. Forgiving repeatedly is challenging for everyone, even for one of the apostles. You know, Peter was speaking for all of us when he came to Jesus with this honest struggle. And it seems like his understanding, or maybe the framework of understanding that he had for forgiveness, wasn't working when somebody repeatedly hurt him. So he came to Jesus for help. And he wanted to know where the line was. You know, I don't know. He may have felt that he was being like super generous to say he would do it seven times. And if so, he may have been a little shocked when Jesus said, well, not seven, but, you know, 77 or 70 times seven. And whether that number is 49 or 490 or 77, it is not really the point. Because he wanted to know where that line was. When is enough enough? You know, at what point could he finally be done with the burden of forgiveness? He was thinking, you know, there has to be an end to it, right? When can I be done with the burden of forgiveness? But Jesus didn't give him a new line to draw or a better formula to follow. Instead, he redirected him towards something deeper. And that was a transformed heart, which doesn't keep score at all. And Jesus' answer to this is not really contained in this one verse, but really in Jesus' whole life. It was a life that Jesus called the eternal kind of life, or the kingdom life, where God's will is being done on earth the way it is in the heaven, in heaven, where you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's the life of self-giving love that is the answer to how many times do I have to forgive. But don't we, like Peter, sometimes want to be done with the burden of forgiving, only to find ourselves carrying the burden of unforgiveness? But Jesus wants to meet us right there in the middle of that struggle. And instead of asking us to gut it out through sheer determination, he invites us into a way of living that actually lifts the burden. You know, Jesus didn't give Peter a formula that promised instant results if he followed the steps correctly. He approached forgiveness as a quality of heart to cultivate. The real question isn't how do I forgive this person, but rather how do I become the kind of person whose heart naturally leans toward forgiveness? And the answer lies in the slow, patient work of God. What I want to ask this morning is, you know, what if forgiveness isn't just a command that we should obey, but a doorway to a deeper participation in the life of God? What Jesus offers is more than just relief from the burden. It's something joyful that feels remarkably like freedom. A lighter heart, a clearer mind, and a life more open to God and other people. You know, there's no way around it. Forgiveness is hard. It's challenging for us all. But I want to start today by talking about some things that forgiveness is not. Because often our resistance stems from uncertainty about what forgiveness might require of us. And when we hear you need to forgive, our minds can race to worst-case scenarios. Like, you know, does this mean I have to pretend it never happened? Am I supposed to trust this person again right away? Do I need to feel warm and fuzzy towards someone who devastated me? And fears like that are understandable for a number of reasons. One is because the way forgiveness is taught sometimes, it sounds a lot like those things. But our fears are often based on misconceptions. And before we can move toward forgiving others, we need to clear away some of the confusion that keeps us stuck. And I want to start by naming a few things that forgiveness isn't. First of all, forgiveness isn't forgetting or pretending it didn't happen. You know, contrary to the old saying, you know, forgiveness doesn't require us to scrub painful memories from our minds or act as though the betrayal or the cruelty or the abandonment never occurred. When someone suggests that we should forgive and forget, they may mean well, but they're asking for something that is neither possible nor wise. Your memories of being hurt aren't obstacles to forgiveness. They're not. They're simply the truth of what happened. The father whose adult son has stolen from him repeatedly doesn't need to forget that those incidents happened. That's not required by forgiveness. A woman whose friend spread malicious gossip doesn't need to pretend her reputation wasn't damaged. Forgiveness can acknowledge the reality of the wound while refusing to let that wound define the rest of their story. Second, forgiveness isn't excusing the wrong or saying it wasn't that bad. Sometimes we avoid forgiveness because we fear it means minimizing what happened, that we have to say, oh, it wasn't really that serious, or I'm sure they didn't mean it. But forgiveness doesn't ask you to downgrade the offense or convince yourself that the pain wasn't real. If a parent's decades-long criticism of a child left deep scars, forgiveness doesn't require you to just call it tough love or character building. You can be honest about how it affected you. You know, in fact, true forgiveness can only happen when we're honest about the depth of our hurt. I think sometimes Christians can fall into this mindset that when we come to God and talk about our hurts, we feel like we need to rush to, but I forgive them. And God certainly wants us to get there, but not at the expense of being honest about what really happened. The wound was real, the damage was done, and forgiveness doesn't demand that we lie about any of it. We can be real. God is not bothered by that. The next, forgiveness isn't automatic reconciliation or restored trust. this might be one of the most important distinctions. Forgiveness doesn't mean relationships immediately return to what they were before. It doesn't require you to let people back into your life with the same level of access and intimacy they had before they hurt you. You can forgive a former business partner who embezzled funds and never go into business with them again. You can forgive a family member whose anger is volatile and unpredictable without spending every holiday in his presence. Forgiveness and trust are related, but they're different. They're different things. Forgiveness is something you can offer regardless of the other person's response. Trust has to be rebuilt over time through demonstrated change. And sometimes when safety requires it, certain relationships may need temporary or even permanent boundaries to be put in place while forgiveness is being extended. And then also, forgiveness isn't a feeling that must arrive before you can act. I think sometimes we the desire to be honest, we don't begin to the process of forgiveness until we feel forgiving. Waiting to feel forgiving might be kind of like waiting for the perfect time to take that trip. You might never go. But you decide and move forward, and you don't have to wait for a certain feeling to show up. Before we move on, I want to pause for a moment and say we've just talked about things that forgiveness isn't. Forgetting, excusing, automatic reconciliation, or feeling. I want to ask you, you know, which of these misconceptions has had the strongest grip on you? You don't need to analyze why. Just notice it. Name it if you can. Sometimes the thing that keeps us stuck isn't an unwillingness to forgive. It's a misunderstanding of what forgiveness would actually require. If something resonated with you as we've talked about these things today, but just pay attention to that. It may be the first sign that the path forward toward forgiveness is less impossible than it can feel sometimes. And now let's talk a little bit about what forgiveness is. At its core, forgiveness is releasing the grip of bitterness on your heart. It's a choice to stop rehearsing the offense in your mind, to stop weaponizing it in arguments, to stop letting it poison your present with resentments from the past. I want you to try something right now, if you're willing. You know, put one hand out and just squeeze. Squeeze a fist. Real one. Tight one. You could feel the tension in your forearm. If you're doing it right, maybe an ache in your knuckles. Or maybe that's just arthritis. The effort it takes just to maintain the grip. And I want us to think as an image. Think of unforgiveness is a clenched fist holding broken glass. The longer you grip it, the more it cuts. If Forgiveness is the gradual process of opening that hand and letting the glass fall away. Now you can release it. That's a visual and physical image of what we're talking about. It's learning to release the grip on our hurts. It's not pretending there's no glass, that the pain wasn't real, but it's learning by the grace of God to let go. And holding on takes more from us than we realize, partly because we've, in some cases, been doing it so long that we've forgotten what an open hand feels like. But you don't need to resolve anything yet. Just notice the difference between holding on and releasing. Next, forgiveness is entrusting justice to God. It means releasing your right to exact revenge. This doesn't mean injustice doesn't matter. It matters profoundly. But it acknowledges that you were never meant to be judge or jury. When you forgive, you're not saying what happened was okay. You're saying that carrying the weight of judgment isn't your job. You're going to entrust that to God. And then forgiveness is a posture of the heart learned through practice. And I think this is a big one. This is a big one for me. But forgiveness is not a one-time transaction. You do it, you sign on the dotted line, and it's done. You're forgiven. You have forgiven. It's a quality of character that develops over time. And some days you'll manage it better than others. Some offenses will require you to forgive again and again as the hurt resurfaces. But the reason I say this is a big one for me is because when the memories come and the pain resurfaces again, I have historically interpreted that as failure on my part. Well, I thought I forgave, but I guess I didn't. Here it is. These feelings are coming up again. But those are a sign to return to your choice, your decision to forgive. And over time, as things emerge, as the pain surfaces, and you choose again to release, that is a process of formation. God meets you there in that repeated decision. That's not failure, it's formation. It's coming back to the truth of what you've decided, that you've decided to release. But it's a process, sometimes a slow process. Sometimes it happens over years. But God wants to meet us there in the pain and bring us through and shape us through the repeated decision to forgive. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, forgiveness is freedom for you first. And I say for you first because when you refuse to forgive, you remain tethered to the person or people and the wound. You're bound by these chains of bitterness and resentment. And they continue to occupy mental and emotional real estate long after they should have been evicted. Forgiveness, and this is something that I think is so important to get, that forgiveness doesn't primarily benefit the offender. though it might. It might profoundly benefit them, but forgiveness benefits you first. There's this quote from Lewis Smedes that I love. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. And I'll just say a few words to, if there's anybody here who feels stuck, knowing you should forgive, but feeling unable to do it. I want to encourage you to take a moment or a few moments or as much time as you need in a journal or just in prayer, in time with God, to answer honestly who comes to mind as you think about forgiveness. What does your clenched fist look like? What are you holding on to? How long have you been holding it? What might it cost you to keep gripping it? You don't need to resolve anything right now. You don't even need to feel ready to go. Just name what's there. Forgiveness begins not with a solution, but with honesty. And that's what it takes to begin. Being honest about the wound and about where you are with it. And I'll say that God is more than ready to handle any rawness that you bring. God is not offended. God is not thin-skinned. God's not waiting for the cleaned up version of what happened. Total, raw honesty with God is actually a form of trust. But as you continue, it may help to know where you're starting from. And there's no right answers here, only honest ones. But which of these sounds most like you today, if you're stuck? I want to forgive, but I don't know how. I've tried to forgive, but I feel stuck. I'm not sure I'm ready to forgive yet. I'm not even sure who or what I need to forgive. I guess there's one more. I'm perfect in forgiveness and I have nothing to say here. But that's really the same as that last one. So I didn't write it down. What Jesus taught about forgiveness was taught with his whole life, his whole being. When he said, come follow me, he is inviting us to follow him into having a heart of forgiveness. And forgiveness is a virtue to cultivate, not a transaction to complete. I think that's important as we face the difficulty of forgiveness, is understanding that it's a virtue to cultivate, not a transaction to complete. It's not something that's just done, over with. Now, it may be in certain circumstances. If the wound is small, but sometimes we deal with things where the wounds run deep, and especially if they're repeated offenses, it's easy to get stuck. And Jesus is inviting us into an understanding of forgiveness, that this is a virtue to cultivate. A heart of forgiveness is something that God, and we are formed in that way by coming to God with it. Even if we're not ready to be ready, tell God that. That's the beginning. It's not about executing a perfect formula. It's a process of learning to become the kind of person whose heart, over time and through God's grace, naturally bends toward releasing bitterness rather than clutching it. And I hope this understanding that forgiveness is about formation rather than transaction will shape everything that follows in your journey of forgiveness. But I want to close this out with a prayer. A prayer that's about beginning. Let's pray. Father, we come to you honestly, not pretending to feel what we don't feel. You know the wounds we carry. You know the names and faces that come to mind. We may not have this figured out. It may not be sure we're even ready to let go, but we're here, and we trust that that's enough. Thank you for not asking us to arrive already changed. Help us to see forgiveness clearly, not as something to earn or perform, but as something you are forming in us. Where we believe things about forgiveness that aren't true, gently correct us. Where we've been stuck, God, please meet us there. We open our hands to you today, even if only slightly, even if they close again tomorrow, we'll try again. Teach us what it means to release. And give us the grace to keep coming back to you as we learn. In Jesus' name.